The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our coverage and analysis of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WHUR News reporter Taylor Thomas is there live with her observations and guests. And in studio, I have Eric Easter, editor of the Urban News Service. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. As we were coming back into the program, of course, you heard the sounds of Bernie Sanders' spirited supporters shouting, "We want Bernie, we want Bernie." These supporters are not going to lie down quietly. And I think it's just amazing to me, Taylor, that the way that this convention is shaping up, even on day one, and you know, I was joking with Eric earlier today, is it going to take First Lady Michelle Obama to quiet things?
Well, the question may be, can Bernie Sanders quiet things? Because all eyes will be on him, as I mentioned before in the newscast. They want to find out, is there going to be any shocking announcement that he makes other than what's expected, which is the endorsement of Hillary Clinton. For all intents and purposes, we have been told he fully supports Hillary Clinton. And speaking of who supports, we have, however, for Bernie Sanders, that is, it's Michelle Argentino Diamond. She's a Bernie Sanders delegate of Wyoming, and she's joining us tonight on Insight. So I have to ask you point blank, are you one in support that you're going to cast that vote as a delegate when they have the call tomorrow, or are you going to...
I'm going to hold out for Bernie Sanders.
You are going to hold out.
You know what? I was pledged for him, and I'm going to stay with him to the end.
To the end.
To as long as I can go.
What do you need to hear to sway you and people like you that want Bernie Sanders to be in that position?
I considered myself a moderate Bernie Sanders supporter. For me, I could be convinced to go for Hillary Clinton. However, what I see from her in terms of student loans is not what I want. I want education to be free for all. I want education to be a right and not just a voucher for it.
So she changes that. You're on board?
I'm on board. I'm on board 100%. That is the main issue for me as someone who writes about personal finance every day and talks to people who have millions, millions and millions in totals of loans. It cannot be like this any longer. We cannot be a generation full of debt that starts off with negative $40,000.
So do you think that would help change others that support Bernie as passionately as you do?
I think so. You know, I'm on the older end of the Bernie Sanders demographics. I'm 29. I graduated with $25,000 worth of student loans. My husband graduated with about $50,000 in student loans. I consider us the normal. I think younger people are graduating with even more, and how we could get to this point is beyond me. And I think that if Hillary Clinton came out for free education for all, free college education for all, I think we could turn some of the younger ones.
And Harold, you know, tossing it back to you in studio there in Washington, D.C., I will tell you that there have been conversations that Mrs. Obama, she is very well liked by the younger generation, and they're hoping that there's something tonight in her speech that will galvanize young people to see the benefits of coming on board with the Clinton-Cain campaign.
Okay. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Mark, calling from Washington, D.C. Mark, what's on your mind?
Yes. We all know that Hillary Clinton has been around for a long time. She's been Secretary of State and the governor of New York.
No, she was a U.S.
Senator.
Yeah, but go right ahead.
My statement is that I believe if she does become president, black people really need to hold her accountable, because it seems like black people are really for her so much, but I don't know anything that she specifically really has done all these years that really has helped us. So my comment is just that if she does become president, we really need to hold her accountable to really doing something specifically for the black community.
How about
because
that, Eric?
Everything for all the other minorities communities. They got something specific for everybody except the black community.
Well, let me see what Eric has to say about that, because he does make a really interesting point.
That's an incredibly valid point.
Yeah. I mean,
because if you look at the Clinton, at the earlier Clinton administration, President Clinton, you had Ron Brown, you had, you know, four, maybe five cabinet secretaries who are African-American. But when you really looked at, when you got beyond the window dressing of that, you still had the crime bill happen. You had some other things that happened, that and the welfare bill happened during that administration. But we could feel good about the folks who were, you know, the window dressing, which is not to say that they didn't do good jobs, but, you know, there was placement. And right now in the convention, you have Donna Brazile, you have Marcia Fudge, you have, you know, all of these folks who will be the window dressing on the convention, the diversity you'll see there. And I think every group has to hold, including Latinos and Asians, you know, have to hold that group. The Asian community, nobody's talked about, but, you know, those 83% of the Asian community voted for President Obama. That's going to be an important constituency for Hillary Clinton as well. And so you'll have a number of constituency groups who'll be looking to hold her accountable afterwards. And as well they should, as well you should for any president.
And now, while this may be considered inside baseball, but I think we really need to note what Donna Brazile did today in the wake, or I believe it was perhaps yesterday, in the wake of this email hacking scandal with the Democratic National Committee, where she personally went to Bernie Sanders and apologized for that. You cannot take away the kind of honesty and backbone that it takes to woman up.
Exactly.
Like that.
Exactly. It was, and you knew that she would do that. I mean, and that's why they picked her. I mean, she's done it before. She's been in this position as interim chair before. And that's what she's known for being able to talk to both sides without hurting them, you know, and be a good sounding board for when people are upset. You know, she can fight back as well. And so she's in the right position.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Carmen calling from Germantown. Thanks for calling, Carmen. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello everyone and happy Monday. I just want to say to the Democratic Party, please, let's all unite in unity. We have to think about the source of where this email leak came from and how it's connected to Donald Trump, number one. Number two, just because there is an email link and somebody in the party did something or said something within those emails that was so gross that you all would tend to link it to Hillary because of her past email. Okay, everyone makes mistakes. And in...
Whoops, we lost her. But I want to go back to our guest, Michelle Argento-Diamond, because it seems to me Kathleen Kennedy Townsend was talking about Donald Trump and she was talking about the Russians and all of this. But it just appears to me that either they're spinning the point or missing the point.
It's hollow. That's the word I want to use.
Because they're not talking about the substance of what was leaked.
Exactly. And it's insulting. It is insulting to us as individuals, as a movement. If you want to unite us, it needs to be more than just, I'm sorry for what I said there. If I was her boss, if I was working in human resources and I saw what she said in those emails, I would have fired her. I would have fired her then on the spot. It doesn't matter if the Russians leaked it or if it was a Trump movement behind it. It matters what she said, what was put out there, and then what happened when she said it. There was obviously a movement to take away Bernie Sanders' power. It doesn't matter if the Russians leaked it.
Michelle, what do you think it will take to really unify the party with Bernie Sanders supporters and Hillary Clinton supporters?
For me, it needs to be actions, not words. Donna Brazile, you know, stepping down was one starting point. The fact
Washington
that
Schultz.
Thank you.
That's okay.
The fact that she stepped down is just a minor tweak in this whole puzzle. And I'm just not there yet. I just do not see unity happening. I'm not going to be one who protests this. I'm not going to be the one to cause trouble. But I do know there are people out there that are so angry, that are so disenfranchised from this party, that they are willing to cause chaos over this. And I don't blame them.
Michelle, Harold, and Eric, you do know that Ms. Brazil also mentioned that there could be more apologies coming because she says she doesn't have all the content in those emails, but there were other things that were clearly troubling. So I don't know what that's going to mean for the rest of this week if more of that trickles out.
Correct. That's an interesting point, Taylor. Eric, will this email scandal overshadow the DNC as the Ted Cruz situation overshadowed the RNC, or the Melania Trump situation overshadowed the RNC last week?
It is 100% based on Bernie Sanders' reaction to this. You know, no matter what comes out, Bernie Sanders can squash it. I'm not saying he's obligated to,
but he could if he says
that, you know, in some way, this is the best thing to happen to Bernie Sanders, because he may have only gotten X amount of rules changed in the Rules Committee. But now, I would bet you right now, Michelle Obama's speech is changing to address something that Bernie Sanders stood for. Hillary Clinton's speech is changing right now, her speech for Thursday, to reflect a couple of positions that he was not able to get in the rules. Bill Clinton's speech is probably changing to reflect what's in there. He's going to be able to get a plane and go around and say what he wants to say to his community and bring people into the tent and build more power for himself. In some sense, really, this is one of the best things that could happen to them, because it's a new negotiating point. But it gives him the opportunity also to send out a signal. Everybody come into the tent. If I'm not upset, you don't be upset. But in the background, he can negotiate whatever he wants right now.
Michelle, you don't agree with that?
No, not at all. I was at that meeting. I was there with the Sanders supporters. It's not going to unify. No matter what he says today, he can say he supports Clinton all he wants. You're still going to hear those boos. I guarantee it tonight.
So, Michelle, can I ask you this question? So are you and your followers willing to allow Trump to become president? Are you willing to let it all go? I don't understand. You can't have. There's only two candidates.
There's not two candidates. There are not two candidates. There are four candidates. Unfortunately for me in Wyoming, Jill Stein is not on my ticket. I would consider her. I know my husband is considering her. Gary Johnson's a little bit too libertarian for me to consider. I would never, ever vote for Donald Trump. But if I cast my vote for Hillary Clinton, it won't be how I would have cast it for Barack Obama, you know, 4 years ago. It wouldn't be with enthusiasm. It wouldn't be with me doing the grassroots movements. That's not a vote. That's me just doing my duty as a civilian.
Right. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Carmen, calling from Germantown. Carmen, thank you so much for calling back. We missed your call earlier. What's on your mind?
Okay, I just wanted to say that Hillary Clinton, even though the emails were leaked, we have to think about the source of those emails and how it plays a role with the Trump party. That's number one. Number two, even though those emails were leaked, nothing in those emails says Hillary Clinton. Number three, I ask that you all think about the VP, and the VP who she nominated to take over if something should happen to her to take this job over, the extensive background credentials that he has that can help this party in so many ways. Education, housing. Please, let's think about that. Let's unite. Let's not let the snake wiggle its way in and poison our minds and our hearts, and we not give the vote that Hillary needs to make this happen. And I want everyone to think about when President Clinton was in the White House and how jobs were flowing and money and economics were very good for this country. I want everyone to think about that as well.
But Carmen, let me say this as I go to a break, though. Here's the problem with the email situation. The DNC, as it relates to the primary election, is all supposed to be about fair play. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And the appearance of this email scandal is that it appears that the DNC was supporting Hillary Clinton all along and didn't give a hoot about Bernie Sanders. And that's the problem. So
I understand that. But Hillary didn't set out to do that.
Yeah.
That was other people who worked in that Swartz woman. I mean that was her doing and her doing alone in other political parties within the DNC.
I've got to take a break, Carmen. Thank you so much for calling back. I appreciate it. When we come back, we're going to talk about who's on deck tonight and what's going to happen tomorrow. We're going to look into our DNC crystal ball, and our lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a bit.
We have got to elect Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our coverage and analysis of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Of course, WHUR news reporter Taylor Thomas is there live with her observations and guests. Before we talk about speakers tonight and tomorrow, Eric did not agree with my last statement before the break about what role the DNC should have played during the primary as it relates to Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Go ahead, Eric.
So I'm not saying should have played, but I'm just saying that the Democratic National Committee is set up to elect a Democrat. Bernie Sanders, prior to getting in the race, was not a Democrat. He was not familiar with the system. He did not come into the system. He had not supported the Democratic Party before. They were invested in their candidate, and they're trying to make sure that the candidate that they think will win And the candidate who has raised money for, you know, it's not just about the president. It's about 250 other candidates across the country that they are spending money on and who will support those folks and raise money for those folks. They are protecting an apparatus. So I don't mean to excuse it, but they did not see their role as making sure it was fair for everyone. They saw their role as making sure a Democrat won in November, not just in the White House, but also from state to state to state, and who could support that.
But if that's the case, then why is this email scandal a scandal?
Because people have bought into this. They spent a year hearing about the system being rigged. And so they've been set up for this narrative. And this just justifies that everything that Trump has been saying on one side about the system being rigged and Bernie Sanders has said on the other coin about the system being rigged is true in some way. Now, whether that, you know, really matters, you know, when you think about how many votes Bernie Sanders actually got and whether he could have won, is another issue. I mean, what in these emails would have changed exactly what happened in the voting booth? I would say nothing. The DNC, most people outside of D.C. have no idea what the DNC is or does. They are a fundraising mechanism. I'm not sure that fundraising would have changed how people voted for Bernie Sanders, particularly seeing how strongly people support him in the convention now. So if those people are as strong and so strong, they weren't going to be less strong because someone said he was a Jew or an atheist or whatever. So I'm not sure that it would have changed anything, but I think we have to understand what the DNC is, and the primary system is really not the same as the general. The primary system is about electing a nominee for the party. It's not about electing the president. That fair electoral process that we think about, which is not even really fair, but that process, that's the general election. This process is about the party. Once you sign your name and say, I'm a part of this party and I'm joining it, you have accepted to be part of that apparatus. I think we have fooled ourselves into believing this is some fair, open, democratic system. It is anything but democratic in the primary. It becomes that more so in the general, but that's not what it's set up for.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and in our own WHUR news reporter, Taylor Thomas. Taylor, we've got we have a high-powered lineup tonight, and before you talk about that, let's hear from your guest.
Yes, joining me now, we have Brent Roberts. He's a political analyst. I want to thank you for joining us tonight on Insight here in Philadelphia. Listen, it's a messy start for the DNC, no matter how you try to paint it. Can the party overcome this new email scandal, and if so, how?
Sure. Thank you for having me as well, and I believe that we can. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's grossly inappropriate that members of the DNC were engaged in the behaviors and activities that they were engaged in with respect to clearly favoring one campaign over the other. That being said, I believe the stakes for our country are high. We have a candidate. We operate within a binary political system, right? Mm-hmm. So odds are you're going to have either a Republican or a Democrat as your president, as your 45th president. Now, that being said, you're going to choose the candidate or the campaign or candidate that has values that are more closely aligned with what you believe in. So I believe that by November, you know, and right now we just wrapped up a primary season. It was, you know, and it was a hard-fought battle. You know, both candidates did amazing jobs. And both won some states, lost some states. And so there's a lot of raw passion. There's a lot of emotion. You can't turn, you know, that emotion off.
Do you see, as an analyst, any way that they can make this better?
Sure.
Is it simply apologizing?
Sure. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz is no longer. She stepped down. I think that's a start. I think there's also some other long-term changes that they've looked at that the Bernie Sanders campaign has initiated, whether it be superdelegates and revisiting that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think in the long term, if the DNC, puts out multiple olive branches and actively engages his supporters, you know, throughout this process and well beyond, you know, this upcoming election. You know, I believe if the Bernie Sanders supporters feel as though they're actually being listened to, that they are at the table, then I believe that, that will help.
And we can see that tonight, Harold. Our lineup for our speakers, of course, Bernie Sanders. Everyone excited to hear what he has to say, how he's going to galvanize his supporters and carry them over the threshold to throw their support behind Hillary Clinton. Of course, the First Lady, Michelle Obama, will also speak to this huge, excitable crowd here. And I really think that she's going to target the youth. Tonight's theme, as I said before, is United Together. The focus, all the speakers will focus on the economy as far as making families stronger and working together, that we're stronger together than we are apart. And, of course, we have Cory Booker that will take to the stage tonight as well, expecting a lot of tweets between all of these speeches. But the one that everyone's really talking about is Bernie Sanders. And can he say what needs to be said to get his supporters to fully back Hillary Clinton?
Sure.
Let me ask Brent a question about the Trump bump, the post-RNC bump that Donald Trump appears to have received. In that he may be considered, more trustworthy than Hillary Clinton, and that indeed he may be ahead of her, not by much, but in some polls.
Sure. Well, you know, that's typical. I mean, after any given convention, you're going to find whomever wrapped up their convention first is going to have a post-convention bump. That's generally speaking par for the course. I'm not terribly shocked there. You know, we have a week, it's going to be a week full of dynamic speakers and then concluding with the nomination of Hillary Clinton. And I believe after this week, once our story is told to the American public, once the stakes are explained to the American public, then Hillary Clinton will also, will have a bump and, we'll be back to where we were at one point. So that's the whole point of this convention. So I'm not terribly shocked by that in the least bit. And one thing as well, you mentioned trustworthiness as well. I'm not sold on the American public seeing Donald Trump as a trustworthy individual as well. Obviously there's a lot of, there's a lot of information regarding his business background and so forth. But I think the one thing that Donald Trump has is that, he has brand recognition. He's literally been in the household and everyone's home, unvetted for, however many years his reality TV show has been on. So, so by far and large, when you're being, fed into the, households day after day after day with no one asking you any questions or thoroughly vetting your background.
Well, Brent, let me stop you there. I need to take a real quick phone call. Chico, real quick, what's on your mind? Chico, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm here until the convention started. These emails that the guy created, I didn't like it. Why did the convention had to start that way in such a bad manner? Because they said that Black Lives Matter, but the real
Real quick, Chico, because I'm down on time. Eric, real brief. why did the email cause such a stink and just throw this convention into a bit of disarray? Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake gaveling in, Debbie Wasserman Schultz stepping down, the whole bit, real quick.
Again, people came in with the expectation of unity, especially after last week's RNC. And people have been fed a narrative for a year of shenanigans, of a rigged system. And this just proved all the Bernie supporters right in their minds about Hillary Clinton and about the DNC.
Okay. Well, there you go. Real quick, Taylor, we know about First Lady Michelle Obama tonight, Bernie
yes.
Sanders
yes.
tonight. Any highlights from what is expected tomorrow?
Absolutely. Well, the gavel will hit at 4 o'clock, so things will get kicked off around 4 in the afternoon. The theme for tomorrow is a lifetime of fighting for children and families. Former President Bill Clinton will speak, and several African-American mothers who lost their sons or a loved one at the hands of a police officer, including the mother of Eric Garner, Trayvon Martin, Sylvia Fullerton, Michael Brown, and Sandra Bland. That's just some that will take the stage tomorrow, and we're really looking forward to seeing what they have to say about this election.
Wow, bigger and bigger. Well, we are out of time, but I wanted to thank WHUR news reporter Taylor Thomas for her coverage at the DNC in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Also, Eric Easter, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, Michelle Argento Diamond, and of course, Brent Roberts. Thank you all for participating in the program. We will, of course, be back here for the Daily Drum and our continued DNC coverage from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, starting at 7 o'clock. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Monday, July 25th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, or Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. And don't forget the hashtag WHURDNC. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.